Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, and welcome to another edition of Daryl Hikes Live. I'm your host, Daryl Hikes, and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes and 19 seconds. So, hey, let's pray, get right into the program. I am super excited about today's show. Got a lot of good stuff for you. So let's just pray and get right into it. Heavenly Father, thank you for heaven, a place where when all this stuff wraps up on the earth, that's where I go. I go home. I get to go home. And so I just thank you for that. I thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for me, for us, those that are saved. I thank you for opportunities to minister the gospel today, to where we can share the love of God, your love through Jesus with people. You know, I thank you for my life being on this planet. I thank you for my spouse, my wife. I thank you for my children. You know, I thank you that my hands work. I thank you that, you know, my feet work. I can walk. I thank you that I can see. I thank you that I can hear. I thank you that I can understand. You know, I thank you that I have a voice. And I thank you that everyone that maybe their hands don't work, or maybe their feet aren't working properly, or maybe they've got a sickness in their body or something's going on, I thank you that today they get a revelation of your love for them, that they get an understanding of your healing or having healed them 2,000 years ago through what Jesus did. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 is very clear, you know, by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And since we were healed, we are healed. And we have to protect our healing. We have to protect that which Jesus already obtained for us. We have to receive it by faith. But then we have to protect it, because there's an enemy to our faith, and we're going to talk about that today. And Lord, I just thank you that this is the day that you have made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. So, hey, we thank you. We're thankful. And it's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic name of Jesus that I pray. And if you heard that prayer and you agree with that prayer, then just say amen, which is so be it. Amen. So today we've got some things we expect. You know, I've been learning, and I'm continuing to learn. There's a scripture in 2 Peter. I'm going to go there real quick, and then I just want to read that. It'll show you the progression of things, of how God operates and what he tells you to do. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, Simon, and I'm reading out of the King James. Actually, I'd like to read that. Let me make sure. Yeah, we're going to read the Amplified. We got time. You know, I'm learning. Stop trying to rush through stuff to get everything within, you know, a 30-minute time frame. Just the word is so good, and it's so powerful and active, according to Hebrews, to where it does what it's supposed to do. And I don't have to try to figure out ways to make the word happen. The word of God is what? That's the transforming. Within the word, that's where the transforming power is. Just reading the Bible. Just reading. Just simply your eyes making contact with the words. Now, I prefer an actual Bible. Even though, I got Bible apps in my phone and things like that. And there was a point I got away from actually sitting down and reading the Bible. I was using my phone a lot, but then I was starting to get distracted. I would be in church service, and my pastor would say, okay, let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. And there were times I didn't even bring my Bible with me, but I would go to it on my phone. But then somebody would text me, or maybe a thought would come. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to interject another thought to get you distracted away from the word. Because within the word, there's an answer, and then there's the word behind the word, because there's a There's a rhema word. And then, you know, there's a logos and then there's a rhema, to where one is a spoken word, to where you're reading the word, and then there's a word behind the word. Because as I'm reading, God is speaking to me. Okay. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read the Amplified. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle, special messenger of Jesus Christ, to those who have received, obtained, and an equal privilege of like precious faith with ourselves in and through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace, God's favor, and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God, of Jesus our Lord. That is good. For his divine power, verse 3, has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence, which is virtue. This, now, verse 3 is very important because it's a personal relationship with Jesus that's going to give you full access to everything that he's obtained. It's just a byproduct. It's like if you jump in a pool, water is, I mean, you don't have to question, well, am I going to get wet? You're going to get wet if you jump in a pool. That's just, so if you jump into a intimate relationship with, or excuse me, as you develop an intimate relationship with Jesus, the byproduct is the prosperity, the freedom from fears, the understanding of, you know, why your marriage can be so much better. You know, you're gonna find out how to properly minister to your children. You're gonna find out how to pray for that coworker at work, you know, that's agitating you. All these things come as a result of your intimate relationship or developing. Intimacy is not something you just walk into the first day. That takes time. That takes time spent in his presence, talking to him. Well, Lord, what about this over here? Well, you know, Lord, I got an offer for a job, and it's making 6 figures. Yeah, but it's going to take you away from my will for your life. Yeah, but, you know, I got these debts, and I need to pay this off, and I need to, but it's going to take you away from my will for your life. So instead of taking a 6-figure job, you take the 5-figure job, but you're in God's will, and he gives you the whole company. Yeah, because your bonuses and all the things that happen in your promotion, everything is contained in your relationship with Jesus. Everything you'll ever need. Everything. Yep. Okay, let's keep reading. Verse 4. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight. You got to get out of there. From the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers, partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, adding your diligence, you got to be diligent, to the divine promises. Diligence means you're paying close attention to things that need to be precise. That's what diligence, that's one definition of diligence, to pay close attention to things that need to be precise. So basically, well, Lord, if it's your will, that's not precise. Well, I'm not sure if God wants to heal me. You know, maybe he's using this to teach me a lesson. I know that's not the will of God. God doesn't use sickness and disease and fatalities and pain and suffering to teach people a lesson. Satan uses all that stuff to kill, steal, and destroy. God doesn't have pain, sickness, disease, all that to put on. He doesn't put that on people. Now, James says, you know, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations and testings, tribulations and things like that, knowing that the testing of your faith. So what happens is a situation happens. Somebody's in a car accident. You know, we don't want you to be in a car accident. I'm not speaking of a car accident, but a person finds himself in a car accident. Now, did God cause the car accident? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Well, I thought, well, he didn't cause it. Well, somebody told me he didn't cause it. God's not going to turn around and say, I want you to live the abundant life. I'm going to heal you, then make you sick. I'm going to give you a debt-free car, then cause it to crash. That's not, God's not back and forth. The gifts and callings of God are given without repentance, which means he doesn't go around doing stuff and it changes his mind. That's not his character. It's not his nature. Think about a parent. Okay, let's put it like this. I'm currently in my apartment, you know, and the reason I was specific to use the word apartment was because there's a scripture that says, I will give you houses filled with all good things that you didn't fill it. So I stand on the promise. That's my promise. Circumstance. So when all these other things are circling around me trying to tell me it's not true, I stand on the promise that God said he will give me a house filled with all good things. I didn't have to fill it. Yeah, but won't you just go out there and get a loan? Hey, I've done that. I've done that before. I'm a veteran. I've done the VA loans. I've been through a foreclosure. I've been there because I tried to do it my way. I tried to do it this world system way. Now, am I saying don't go get a house loan? I never said that. You have to do whatever God tells you to do. But then I have to do whatever God tells me to do, or I choose to do whatever God tells me to do. And if God tells me, Daryl, if I find it in the Word, and God tells me specific, because I'm looking for specific directions. I'm not looking for a general, you know, will of God for my life, which I understand there's God's general will, such as, flee fornication. Okay, first you got to know what fornication is, because a lot of people they have no clue what fornication is. So how can you flee something and you don't know what it is? It's having sex with somebody you're not married to. Okay, there. And even within the context of that, you still have to be mindful that you're not disrespecting the person that you're married to in the areas of sex. That you're not degrading the person that you're married to in the areas of sex. That you're not asking them to do something that is immoral or illegal in the areas of sex. So these are things that come out of an intimate relationship with God. And when God and I, when I talk to him, I say, okay, Lord, you know that my apartment lease is up. You know that we desire a house. We desire shelter, which, of course, please don't understand. It's not, I don't want you to get into mind and say, oh, they're going to be homeless. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm talking about is taking the time to find out how God wants to do stuff versus just going out there doing it what you're accustomed to or through your experience. You know, well, I use the same agent. I don't care what's going on. Maybe you need to get a different one or find out, you know, at least acknowledge God. Hey, Lord, what do you think about this? Well, I think you might want to hold off, not right now. But you have a habit of being hasty about stuff. And the scripture says, he who is hasty, it always leads to sin. Now, that's a pretty strong word, always. You know, let's actually, I'm going to make sure I go there. Hasty. Hastiness. He who is hasty. Let's see. I'm just learning just to slow down and just enjoy God and just, I'm just enjoying just his presence. Yeah. Now here's a scripture. It says, let's see, Proverbs 19 and 12 says, desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way, miss the mark? Actually, that's translated sin to miss the mark. So when you're hasty, you're going to miss the mark. That's, even zeal is no good without knowledge. And he who hurries his footsteps misses the mark. Enthusiasm without knowledge is not good. Impatience will get you into trouble. Take the time to get with God and find out what it is he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it. Timing is everything. I found that out. And I'm born again, what has it been? It was 1997. So, and it's just been, was that 22 years? And God has just, over that time, I've learned so much about how God operates, how he, his viewpoint. Because I think it's in Isaiah, it says, his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So, but it doesn't say that you can't get his thoughts, you can't get his ways, but you got to spend time with him. You got to spend time with him. But like I was saying about the house, I'm not telling people, you know, to never, I'm not saying debt is a sin. I'm not saying going to debt. But for me, if my Bible says out of, I think it's Romans 13 and 8, owe no man nothing. Let me see, let me make sure. I believe it says, owe no man nothing but to love him. Let's see, we're right here. Yep. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. Let's see what it says, royal. I mean, well, I wrote royal in parentheses. Let's see, Romans chapter 13, verse 8, in the Amplified, it says, keep out of debt, and owe no man anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor, who practices loving others, has fulfilled the law relating to one's fellow man, one's fellow men, meeting all its requirements. Keep out of debt. Keep out of debt. So what happens if a debt shows up? Do everything within your power to get out of it, because the borrower is servant to the lender. Debt makes a horrible master. It calls shots. It'll call your phone. It'll call your house. It'll call your family members. Keep out at all costs. Keep out of debt at all costs, because there are certain things that come along with debts. Debts tie you down to stuff. They put you in a position to where you now have to consider the lender before you can freely serve God. Now, like I said, if I know of situations to where God will tell somebody, go ahead and agree to certain terms on this and that and everything, and within, you know, maybe a couple of days or a couple of weeks, it'll get paid off. So I am not saying that you will never, don't ever, you'll never have debt. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm talking about is that through my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he's telling me to keep out of debt. And why is that? Because I've spent 95% of my working life in debt. I went from, let's see, started working at, I believe I was 16, started working at age 16, living at home with my parents. I didn't have any responsibilities. Well, I paid like a water bill or a light bill or something like that, electric bill, something like that. But then when I joined the military, I went out and I got a loan to get a car, so I had that. Got credit cards, JCPenney, Sears, anybody want to give me a credit card, I got it. So I went out and I bought clothes, speakers for my car, rims. I would just buy stuff because I had this free money, so to speak. So I just went and bought stuff. I had student loans. I just, whatever I could get on credit, I got it. Whatever money I could get access to. I have this personal goal. I want to visit all 50 United States capital cities. However, I want to visit them specifically on the anniversary date that each state was admitted to the Union. It's just something that's just unique to me. Just I like to do stuff that's different. I'm just designed that way. That's just how my mind thinks. That's just how God created me. So I went out. I started in January of 2005. And when I got an American Express card, and I purchased 5 airline tickets from Georgia to Alaska, Alaska to Utah, Utah to, I want to say, New Mexico. Then I went from New Mexico to Connecticut, and then I went from Connecticut to, Connecticut. Then I came back here, came back to Georgia, and then I went to, I've been to Boston, I've been all these different places, but I did it on credit. But the challenge was, I wasn't working a job at the time. I just was trusting God to pay the credit card off. Well, it came time to pay the credit card off, and I didn't have the money. And so then it's now it's affecting my credit, and just, you see how the cycle? Now, I accept full responsibility. It was my fault. But I just choose to stay out of, I choose to keep out of debt. If I can't pay cash for it, I just feel like I don't need it at that time. That's me. So based on my relationship with the Lord, that's how we operate. And I like it. I like knowing that I own stuff. It's paid for. I like it to where they're not going to come get my TV, or they're not going to come take back my couch, or they're not going to come take back my computer. I like that. Now, do I still have debts? Yeah, right now, I do. And there are things that I'm paying off, my credit cards, and, you know, because I, like I said, I'm at a place in my life with the Lord, with my relationship, where we can openly, I'm open and I'm honest about Him. I'm open and I'm honest with Him about the fact that I haven't come to a place to where I can manage debt. So for me, it's best that I just keep out of it, or don't continue to go in. Because right now, I'm in the process of paying off debts. If that makes paying off credit cards, because I made some decisions years ago, and I was just spending, and then I wouldn't have it, and then I'd use a credit card, and then I would not pay it off, and then it would accrue interest and late fees, and it was just it's just a web of mess for me. Now, if you're the kind of person that can, you know, handle that, then praise God. But I'm just telling you about me. You know, the title of the show is Home Sweet Home, which we were going to talk about heaven. But maybe there was somebody, I just choose to believe that there's somebody out there listening that you are absolutely just done with the current life that you're living. Now, that doesn't mean you're suicidal. Not at all. It just means you want something better. And God has something better. You just have to know how to go to Him and find out what the better is. That sounded so better as I listen to myself. It's quite comical. However, you just got to find out what the better is for your life. I made a lot of mistakes in my life. I have. You know, I've been through a divorce. I've been homeless on more than one occasion. I've lived out of my car. I've had situations with law enforcement. You know, I've had my driver's license revoked, not suspended, but just revoked. I mean, and you know, in the society we live in, you know, and I'll say it, you know, I was going to hold back and not say I've been locked up before, so I've been incarcerated, you know, not as far as prison, but, well, anytime you're behind in a jail cell and you're behind bars, people can say what they want to say. It's jail, prison, whatever you want to call it. But I've been there, so I know what it's like. When people look at me, they think I live this perfect life and everything is always great. And everything is. My life is perfect because I choose to look at it from a perfected position in Christ. I do have a great life. I don't let situations and circumstances dictate my emotional, you know, a negative emotional response, because I can control that. Now, did it take some time to get there? Oh, you can bet your bottom dollar. But, you know, I like to not bet because I used to have a gambling problem. Mm-hmm. You'd be amazed as to things that God has delivered me from to where I'm delivered. I mean, I'm delivered from chocolate chip cookies, from caramel cakes, from apple pies with ice cream. I don't eat any sugar. So if God can deliver me from sugar, processed sugar, well, actually, I don't even eat sugar at all. Like, I don't. I mean, God, I ask God to take the taste for sweets and sugars and all that stuff out of, I asked him to take away the taste, and he did. And he showed me how to conquer that and to not go back to it. And that's just what I've done. And I'm not saying that from a bragging position. I'm not saying that from a exalting myself. It was all him. It was all him. Because if you can walk into a room and they got a whole plate of Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookies, my Lord, just if you can walk into a room and it doesn't even faze you, like it's irrelevant. I mean, I look at sweets as almost like the enemy, because I know what they do inside of my body. So if you've been listening to this program up to this point and you're just tired of the life that you're living, there's a Jesus, my Jesus. He's got a better life for you. And if you want to go ahead and activate that better life and you want that relationship with him, then repeat this. Then repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I realize the life I'm living, I do not want to live it anymore. Well, I'm coming clean, and I'm handing the controls of my life over to you, Mr. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I believe that God brought you up out of hell on the third day, and I exchange my sin for your righteousness. Today, I want to be a member of the family of God. Today, based on what I just said, I am a member of the family of God. And I want to thank you for accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, welcome to the family. Have a wonderful day. We'll talk soon.